Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, halfway home on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at D.D. Lewis for real. So, it's no real wonder why, you know, again, we saw the Braves lose 2 out of 3 games to the White Sox. And, yeah, they have struggled against a couple of teams, you know, actually 3 teams, I guess, if you will, you know, from the American League. The White Sox, the Red Sox, and the Oakland A's. The Braves are 3-5 against those 3 teams. And those are bottom-feeding teams in, you know, the American League. The Red Sox are tied with the Yankees for last place in the AL East. The White Sox are 15 games below 500. And the Oakland A's are obviously the most disgraceful, despicable franchise. Think about that division. The Rangers have a 3-game lead over the Astros, 8 over the Mariners, 9 over the Angels, and 30.5 over Oakland. Again, it's a disgrace, okay? And the Braves have not played those 3 teams well. They did not have success against those 3 teams. But Day-Day, do you know what the record for the Braves is against the NL East so far this year? Take a wild guess as to what the record is of the Braves against the NL East this year.
I'm just going to, because I easily could look it up, but just taking a guess.
So I'll give you a hint as far as they've played 28 games
against the
NL East this year. The Mets, Marlins, Phillies, and Nationals, they've played 28 games against those teams.
I'll say 23-5.
23-5. That's very close. They are 22-6 against the Phillies, Mets, Marlins, Nationals this year. They are 4-2 against the Nationals. They are 4-2 against the Phillies. They are 5-1 against the Mets, and they are, ready for this, 9-1 versus the Marlins this year. And so if you want to know why I proclaimed weeks ago that this division was over, when the Braves rolled through the month of June, they steamrolled through the month of June, and they dominated everybody. I think they were, what, 21-4 or something like that in the month of June? I mean, it was ridiculous how good they were in the month of June. 21-4 in the month of June. They had a plus 71 run differential in the month of June. Why were they able to put, you know, themselves big distance between them and these? Because they beat all of those teams head to head. So we can talk about the struggles against Oakland and the White Sox or whatever. Like, we can talk about those things that are meaningless. But when it comes to what really matters, and when the Marlins, Mets, Philadelphia Phillies, and the Nationals line up against the Braves, they're 6-22, those four teams, against the Braves. That's the difference. That's been the difference for the last few years. That's been why the Mets and Phillies have not been able. Now, look, again, I know that Philadelphia knocked the Braves out of the playoffs. That's a whole separate discussion, right? That's a whole different discussion for another day. But when it comes to winning the division and saying that this division is over, it's because those teams can't win against Atlanta. They don't beat the Braves when they have their chance. Maybe the Mets and Phillies should call up the Oakland A's and the Chicago White Sox and figure out how to beat them. Because the Marlins and the Mets are 2-14 versus the Braves. 2-14 versus the Braves. Oh, yeah. Philadelphia and the Mets, the Braves are 9-3 against those two teams. What have they spent? About $800 million in guaranteed money? Maybe it's more than that. It's probably $1 billion when you look at all of the different contracts, whether it's, again, Harper, Correa, or not Correa, who's the shortstop for Lindor, you know, guys like that. They've probably spent $1 billion just to be 3-9 against your number one rival in the division. It's no wonder that the Braves have the lead that they do. Can you imagine if the Marlins could actually be somewhat competitive with the Braves? This would be a divisional race. But when you're 1-9, and by the way, too, these teams don't play 19 times anymore. They don't have 19 games that they play with one another anymore as far as the divisional goes. Or it probably would be even worse, if to be honest with you. That's probably good news for the Mets and the Phillies and the Marlins and stuff, because if they had to play the Braves 19 times, imagine what that would look like. Imagine what that would be like if they had to play the Braves that many times. They're 22-6, the Braves are, against those three teams. How bad do you think it would be? How much more ridiculous would it be if those teams played as much as what they, you know, have in years past? So you don't have to think any further. Yeah, we talk about their lineups and their pitching and this and that and bullpens and trade deadlines and everything like that. But there has been no thought about the idea of, and that's why I said, there's no reason to think that the Phillies and the Mets and, you know, all of them are going to the Braves are going to collapse against those teams. There's no reason to think that they're going to collapse against those teams, and as far as during the regular season. Like I said, playoffs, whole different animal when you get to the playoffs, right? Ask Leo. Anything can happen in a short series. But when these teams line up against the Braves. They can't figure out a way to get it done. They can't figure out a way to do it. And again, maybe if you're the Mutts, maybe you call up the Oakland A's. Maybe you call up the Chicago White Sox and ask them, what's the secret sauce? What's the elixir? Maybe that's what they should do. Because they're certainly not beating the Atlanta Braves. They're certainly not beating Atlanta anytime soon. And if you can't win your head-to-head games, the division's going to be, you know, a slugfest, and Braves are just going to roll. And by the way, this doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. It's been the narrative for a few years now. And especially when it comes to the Marlins and the Braves. The Braves have just completely dominated the Miami Marlins. That's why there's never any real thought about, well, could they win the division or anything like that? No, there's no real thought about it because, again, there's no reason to think that any of those teams are going to all of a sudden do something drastically different and all of a sudden they're going to own the Atlanta Braves. So you can break down all the numbers seven ways to Sunday that you want. You can break down all the different numbers and different ways that, you know, it's, you know, why the Braves are where they're at or what have you, you know, payrolls and lineups and pitching staffs and all this. And, hey, we've got Scherzer and Verlander. And you can line up all these different things. But it doesn't mean a hill of beans if you can't beat the team that's in front of you. If you can't beat up the teams that are in front of you, it doesn't really matter. And at 22-6, and I had to look this up this morning because I was trying to see that, okay, you know, some people were like, well, you know, the Braves struggled against these American League teams. Okay. I mean, again, they're 3-5 against the Red Sox, White Sox, and Oakland A's. Yeah, it kind of stinks, but it's an 8-game sample size. What have they done to the division? And then I looked it up and it was 22-6, and I was like, whoa. Well, there's your answer as to why none of those teams are competitive in the division. There's your answer as to why the division is in the shape that it's in, where the Braves have a 9.5-game lead over the Marlins, 12 over the Philadelphia Phillies, and a 19 or 18.5-game lead over the Mutts.
Beat the Mets.
Wait, hold on. We got to start this over again. I got confused on there. Okay, here we go. There you go. F the Mets.
F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets.
Bring
your kitties. Bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
That's for Ed Lover, by the way.
Oh, he likes that.
I ran into Ed Lover in the parking lot last week when I was about to come upstairs, and he said, "Man, he says you got to be easy on those Mets of mine." He's a Mets fan, and he's like, "Man, he's like that song you guys play is pretty funny." I was like, "Yeah, because they stink." So, anyway. Ed Lover's a great dude, man. That guy's
he's a real cool dude.
Yeah, he's the best, man.
You know, he's got a, is it him? Yeah, I think he's got a night that's going to be, it may have started or is getting ready to start. I don't mean to throw you off, but at the Cheetah, because, you know, we frequently talk about the Cheetah when we have some of our old school Atlanta talk. And he's got a night that's, I think it's going to be like a weekly or maybe it's a monthly, but it's going to be at the Cheetah.
Maybe that's my excuse to go to the Cheetah. You know, I've never been to the Cheetah.
Oh, really? Yes. I went one time, and it wasn't. We talked about this. It's not like your Pink Ponies and.
Oh no! I mean they brought they were here last week.
Really?
Yes. They Alluvia brought some food upstairs. That's their restaurant there.
Right. Exactly.
The Cheetah, and they brought some food up, and they had a couple of ladies. They were here during Freaky's.
Yeah.
During when Freaky was here last week.
Yeah, it's a nice place, but you know, you don't get that that certain interaction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's for a podcast. I mean,
right.
Again, I liken it to when I said that the Gold Club was the most overrated place I was ever in Atlanta.
Right.
Like absolutely positively the most overrated place that I've ever been to in Atlanta was the old Gold Club. And it was supposed to be like, you know, this world famous, right, you know, place and all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, I had so many better nights at Oasis on Tilly Mill Road. So many more better nights there and at Pink Pony, and got into all kinds of trouble. I mean, well, I didn't really get into too much trouble, but had a lot of fun at those places. So, I mean, again, you know, but anyway. So, but it's no surprise as to why the Braves are where they are at 22-6 so far in the division. All right, when we come back, it will be time for That's Life. So I did see Mission Impossible over the weekend. I did see it on Saturday. I got my tickets, and I was there in IMAX for it. So we'll talk about that, plus our top 10 as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Sports Radio 92.9 of the Game, back with you, John Chuckery Show. 921 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. At @JMSH316, @TheDLewis for real on our personal Twitter pages. So, Day-Day, I got tickets Saturday night. I was at the IMAX and saw Mission Impossible.
Nice.
Man, it's terrific.
Okay.
Several things. I'm a huge Mission Impossible movie. I'm a big fan of that movie franchise, okay? And I still think that the first one is still the best one. But this was a very intense movie. I'll be honest with you. I don't have any idea what the story is about. I don't understand anything about with AI technology and all. I have no idea what they're talking about. But the action and the flow of the story is fantastic. I mean, the visual, I mean, it's all terrific. It really is. I think it's a really good. And there is, I'm telling you, in movie making right now, there is nobody better than Tom Cruise at making these blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
There's just nobody better at it. I mean, nobody can get people to go to the movies like what Tom Cruise can.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I mean, he does big films unlike anybody else in movie making right now. When he does a movie, it feels like a big event. And it is. I mean, I loved it, man. I can't wait to see the second part. You know, obviously this is a two-part movie.
Right.
And again, I don't understand a single thing about the story. I don't understand the story.
Right.
But just the action and the filmmaking and just everything about it, it's terrific.
Okay.
You know, so I highly recommend it. I know Abe saw it and he said, you know, I'll like it. I mean, it's terrific. I think it's a really good movie. I didn't see how it did at the box office over the weekend. I'm sure it probably dominated. But and that Hayley Atwell is a gorgeous woman. She is just phenomenal. I think it's a good flick. It's just sit back with your popcorn. I had a beer, a popcorn, and a bottle of water, and I just chillaxed at the IMAX in my big recliner seat and just had a good old time. I love going to the movies.
Okay.
And especially when it's a good flick. When it's a really good movie, I really enjoy the going to the film experience.
Okay.
And there aren't many movies that I really want to see at the theaters, you know, nowadays. I was watching the previews for that Oppenheimer. I mean, it's an interesting story, and it's Christopher Nolan, so I obviously like him because of Batman, but that's not going to get me to go to the movie theater to spend $25 to see Oppenheimer. But right. Mission Impossible, Top Gun 2, I'll see those kinds of movies all day long.
Okay.
So it was really good.
Okay.
So it was well worth it. And it's just, you know what you're going to get. I mean, you know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, Tom Cruise is terrific. He does all his own crazy stunts, right? He did the big jump off the mountain, you know, in real life. I mean, he does all his own stunts. So, but again, it's the pace of it and the intensity is really there. So I highly recommend it. If you're looking for just a good flick to just watch and just be released, just go enjoy it for what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, don't think too much about it. Like I said, I couldn't even begin to explain the story to you. I couldn't in a million years tell you I understand what they're talking about in the story with this AI and running the world and submarine things, and I have no idea, but it's just fun to watch.
Okay.
So,
all right, definitely going to check. Did you see where he surprised the Atlanta?
He was over here at the Atlantic Station on Wednesday. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
He did a whole bunch of those over the weekend that he was surprising folks at. The Rock did that when they had that Fighting for My Family or whatever like that, the story about Paige.
Yeah.
He surprised everybody at Atlantic Station.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
It seems like that's the place where they go and surprise people. That's a nice movie. I mean, if you've ever been,
and
that's an AMC as well. I mean, I don't think I've ever been in their IMAX. Yeah. I don't know if they have an IMAX.
Do they have an IMAX? They have what's the other one? The RPX or
something like that. Yeah,
I know for sure they have one of those.
Yeah, I don't remember if they have IMAX or not. That's a good little theater. But that's where he was at. The Rock was over there. So that's That seems to be like the place where guys show up for.
Yeah.
And you know why? Why he showed up there?
Because he filmed some of it here?
No.
Why?
No. The SAG people are on strike.
Oh, that's right. So he can't do. Yeah.
He
that's
can't
right.
do the Colberts and the Jimmy the Fallons and yep. all that. Like, they can't do the PR tours.
So they really got to be hands-on, go out, kiss, shake hands, kiss the babies.
Yeah, exactly, because him and the director were over here. So that's how they're having to do it, is because with the SAG strike going on, they can't go out and do PR for the film or anything like that.
Oh, we got to talk about that maybe sometime this week, man. It's getting a little sketchy now with some of these movies that haven't hit production, but they're, like, slated to, you know.
Well, yeah, there's come fall, you're going to feel the effects of what's happening now with this strike.
Yep.
Like, it's and again, people are just getting back into going to the theater.
Right.
Like, and some of these, like, for instance, you know, we talked about The Flash, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's bombed.
And
by the way, Indiana Jones has not done well either at the box office. It's tanked as well because he's 80 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to see 80-year-old Harrison Ford. Again, it's not. There's no nostalgia factor in that.
No.
Now, Tom Cruise, they'll go see that movie because, again, even at 61, he looks like he's 40,
right.
You know, and he can do it. But, again, they're just getting people back to these films, and now they're going to blow it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to blow it. And a lot of these guys can't. The writers went on strike first. Now the actors are on strike, and it's going to definitely affect, you know, come fall and end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of those movies that would be up for Oscars, it's going to be a thin field.
Yeah.
When if this doesn't get resolved here soon, so, a 1997 badge from the Masters. So basically, Tiger's badge from the Masters. He autographed it. It's a $100 face value badge for like a participant.
Okay.
$18,600 it recently sold at auction. Tiger Woods' 1997 signed Masters badge from his first major victory. It graded out a 10, a perfect 10. April 10th through 13th in 1997. Tiger Woods was the winner of the Masters, and it's a very cool piece of memorabilia. $18,600 that it just sold at the auction. It was literally just a couple of days ago, the 15th of the month, that it closed out on there.
Nice.
All right, happy birthday to Elmer Fudd. Yes, Elmer Fudd, it's his birthday today. The cartoon character was introduced on this day. So with that, tonight's top 10 list, your top 10 favorite cartoon characters. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right. So I got Bugs Bunny. I'm going to count these two as one because they came as a duo. I got a couple of them like that.
Okay.
Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
I love the original Tom and
Jerry. I love Jerry's. Tom and Jerry. Yep.
Spike the dog, that whole back then. Heckle and Jekyll. I know a lot of people probably don't remember them.
Yeah, they're the two birds.
Right.
I mean, what is it? Magpies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're magpies is what they are. Yes.
Yep.
Two black magpies.
Yep. Starscream from the Transformer cartoons, the original Transformer cartoons.
Oh, okay.
I liked him just because he was always, like, low-key wanting to take over and be the leader of the Decepticons and all that. So, Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. That's an old school one.
Yeah.
There.
Yep. Snake Eyes from the original G.I. Joe cartoon.
Yeah.
Just even though he didn't talk, it was just his look and just how they.
Absolutely.
You know, Bart Simpson. How can you not like Bart Simpson?
Yeah, I'm not a Simpsons fan. So,
really?
I've never watched The Simpsons. So,
wow.
I couldn't. I mean, again, I know who Bart and Homer and some of those people are, but I could not tell you anything about The Simpsons.
All right. Teen Titans, the Robin from Teen Titans, the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cartoon Wolverine from the original X-Men cartoons.
Okay.
And then last but not least, Daffy Duck.
All right. So I've got Elmer Fudd on my list.
Okay.
Hong Kong Phooey.
Okay.
One of my absolute favorites. That's one of the best cartoon themes of all time as well. That and Fat Albert. Those are the two great cartoon themes ever done. I am a fan of Donald, because, again, I go for the angry characters. Donald Duck is on my list. Popeye. Just it's always funny, like Popeye just kind of talking under his breath. Right. Like that's the best part about it, you know. Like, yeah. Like he'll start talking, and then all of a sudden he'll just start kind of under his breath, you know, start talking about something else. So, two from SpongeBob SquarePants. Squidward and Mr. Krabs. I love Mr. Krabs. Like, he's always about money. I think that's very funny.
Yes.
Porky Pig is
Porky
well.
Porky was good, yeah. Yeah.
Just because he would, like, try to say a word, and then he would say something completely different.
Right.
Very, very funny. Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
Obviously, kind of one of the villains, you know, for Bugs Bunny.
Yep.
Sylvester the Cat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Certainly
yeah.
Him and Tweety Bird. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, saying that. You know, again, Tweety Bird would say, like, you know, I smell a putty cat.
Yeah.
He was always trying to get him, but obviously never failed. And then my absolute favorite all time cartoon character, without question, and I'm a lot like this, is Foghorn Leghorn.
I had a feeling you were gonna.
Again, the boy's got the ambition. He just ain't got the know-how. Like, I love the quotes from
he
Foghorn
was very
Leghorn.
Like, when you think about it in hindsight, he was a very adult cartoon
character. Absolutely. Like, again, the things, I mean, just the phrases and the things he would say, you know, in those cartoons. You had to, like as a kid, it like went. As a kid, it went completely over your head. Like, it went completely over my head. But then, like, as an adult, I'm like, the boy's got the ambition. He just ain't got the know-how. And I'm like, yeah, that's true, man. Like, that's so true. Like, you know, again, you don't think about it like in those terms or whatever like that. But certainly, you know, it was just – he was ahead of his time with the different sayings. And there is, like, websites dedicated to all of the sayings that Foghorn Leghorn has. Like, Foghorn Leghorn quotes. Like, he just come up with the most crazy things, you know, randomly, you know, out there. But you're right. Like, that was very, as a kid, like, all of that stuff just went flying over my head. But as an adult, I think back and, like, yeah, you know, he's right. Like, yeah, like this is a very accurate thing that he put out there. So, anyway, hit us up with your list as well. All right, when we come back, Pat Benson joined us earlier in the show. We will talk some Atlanta Hawks with him. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, live on this Monday evening with you. We continue to see what the Atlanta Hawks are going to do. Obviously, summer league, just wrapped up here, and it won't be long before we start talking about training camp. Still plenty of time to do some stuff, but let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Pat Benson, sneaker reporter for Fan Nation, covers Atlanta Hawks as well. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Pat_Benson_Jr. Pat, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So let's start with all the rumor and innuendo. I mean, obviously, Pascal Siakam is a guy who has been linked heavily with the Atlanta Hawks. The question that I have is, if you don't know if you can sign him to a max extension, do you make that? I mean, do the Hawks look at making that trade and roll the dice that they can sign him as the season goes along or at the end of the year? Or is that just kind of too risky to give up some of the assets that you would for Siakam without some kind of guarantee that he will stay here long term?
Well, unfortunately, not going to get much of a guarantee if you think Pascal Siakam is the type of player that can push you into that area of contention, then yeah, that's a big boy move that big boy teams make all the time. You got to be willing to make that sort of leap of faith. And I'm not sure if Siakam is that player. I think he's a great player. I think he is an upgrade over John Collins, no doubt about it. And if Landry Fields, Kyle Korver, Quinn Snyder, if that front office, if they think that Siakam is the missing piece, then yeah, they have no choice but to go for it.
So if he does become a free agent, I mean, either way, he's either going to get a max extension if he signs with a team, or he'll go to free agency and get a max deal. Like, there's no way around him being a max player. You think the Hawks would, let's just for argument's sake, say the Hawks do make a deal for him. You're talking about another $120 million being doled out for him at that point. You think the Hawks are willing to make that kind of investment into a third player at this point?
I think they would be. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, a couple weeks ago, I think when we last spoke, I was pretty bearish on the idea of Siakam. But, you know, we keep hearing his name come up over and over from different reports, different corners of the league. So at this point, I do believe that there is serious interest. It's just how much are they willing to part with, you know, in order to bring Siakam in. But, yeah, they would have to, their hand would be forced. They would have to sign to a max contract next year, and that would also require retooling the roster to make it work. You know, that would mean saying goodbye to, you know, Clint Capella, DeAndre Hunter, some other players. You know, obviously, one, just to make the trade happen, and two, to fit the fit him in the salary cap. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and Pat, you know, there's been more and more speculation. I mean, we're hearing reports from different people, and you know, Jake Fisher being one of those guys that you know, has been being, and he's been pretty accurate here of late. But he did report that the Hawks have had a more willingness to move on from Clint Capella. You think Clint Capella is the next guy that most likely moves off this team, whether it's Dallas or Toronto or somebody like that? I mean, you know, again, really probably more Dallas than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But does it feel like that he's maybe the next domino that's about to fall?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense because Onyeka Okongwu, it's really his time. He's about to get a rookie-scale contract extension, and I think Clint Capella was always kind of a stopgap measure for Okongwu after we saw what he did during that Eastern Conference Finals run in 2021. We always knew that he was the center of the future, need a little bit more time to develop. And don't get me wrong, Capella's still performing at a very high level. But it does make sense. You know, I think everybody is in agreement that Okongwu is the center of the future. So, yeah, it only makes sense that Capella would be the next player to go. And then also right by his side would be DeAndre Hunter, of course, because we've kind of got a logjam of forwards when you look at Sadiq Bey, A.J. Griffin, and a bigger power forward, you know, Jalen Johnson. So, yeah, I would say Capella and then to a slightly lesser extent Hunter.
If they can't move Hunter, do you think that they offer Sadiq Bey a contract extension? Because I'm wondering what that looks like as far as a cost perspective. I mean, you know, again, he's going to be a free agent. You know, that's another one of the guys that you look at. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a free agent come next year. And I thought he did a lot of good things for the Hawks. But, you know, obviously it's going to be a matter of if they're going to pay him, what's it going to cost? And to your point about, you know, if there is a logjam sort of at that small forward position or maybe even guard, you know, big guard position.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do you think a deal like that looks like for a guy like Sadiq Bey? Or do they just kind of ride him out for one more year and, you know, eventually let him walk?
Well, that's a good point you made. You know, their hand isn't exactly forced when it comes to Bay because, one, they didn't give up a ton to get him. They gave up 5 second-round picks, and second-round picks just aren't that valuable. And then, like you said, they could ride the season out the way they did with John Collins when he was in a contract year and then come back and then negotiate a deal. What his deal would look like and, you know, how it it's in this major grand scheme. I have no idea what it would look like, but I feel like the pressure to sign Bay isn't there the way it is to extend Okongwu.
Pat Benson joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Hawks reporter. So, DeJounte Murray, we saw the extension. I really like the move. I mean, look, we've talked about this in the past that, look, I was glad that they didn't monkey around. They made him the big-time offer. He wanted to stay in Atlanta. And the biggest thing for me is just now it's all about basketball. Now it's focusing on basketball. There's no talk about contracts, no talk about trades, no talk about any of this kind of stuff. This really felt like a home run move for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think that the Trae Young, DeJounte Murray is the perfect backcourt, but they certainly complement each other well. They've proven they can make it work. Here's a novel idea in the NBA. Let's give them some time to play together and to develop, get to know each other better, and they're only going to improve. So last year it was a little clunky at times, but overall we've seen enough to know that it will work. And most importantly, like you said, we can put all the drama aside. Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, they're both locked up for the future. And should something go awry, if Trae Young for some reason wants out at some point, Atlanta has an all-star caliber player, ready to lead the team at the one guard, and DeJounte Murray. So not only does it solidify his future, it also is a little bit of an injury position.
So do you think that, if it's not Siakam, are there any, we've talked about this before, are there any names or any buzz about anybody else? It does really feel like that all of the eggs are potentially in the Siakam basket. So if it's not him, is it anybody else, or are they just going to pretty much try to just run this thing back with what they've got?
That's a great question, because I was scanning through available players, and it was a free agency class to begin with. The Hawks aren't going after James Harden or anything like that. So, yeah, I feel like it's got to be Siakam. But then again, at the same time, it's the NBA. We see these trades come up out of nowhere, and people forget that the Cleveland, when they pulled off that major trade with Utah last year, that happened in September. That was right before the start of training camp when they got Donovan Mitchell. So things can happen late. I wouldn't expect movement soon. I think this is a trade drama that could play out over weeks, over months. However, the Hawks do have $9 million in cap space, and I think there is a reason why they cleared all that out. I think they are preparing to add a third star, and at this point it looks like it's Siakam or no one. But then again, it's the NBA. Crazier things have happened.
Well, and then that begs the question, are they – they got out of the luxury tax, okay, are you going to turn right back around and get into it? Because, while you cleared some cap space, you don't have a whole lot of room to do a lot of maneuvering without staying in the luxury tax. And, look, this always becomes the debate about what the Hawks are going to do. As of right now, if we believe in actions over words, all that they have done is really get themselves under the luxury tax. I don't think they're a better roster today, and I think all it's been is just – so far, getting under the luxury tax, and every move that you've seen that they've corresponded with has been, it's a $4.5 million here, $6.5 million savings here. So it feels like every move has been designed to kind of minimize, get themselves under the luxury tax, clear up some cap space. Are they willing to get back into it? I know what the verbiage is, but are they really willing to get back into it?
Well, you have every right to be skeptical. Since they pulled the trigger on the DeJounte Murray trade last summer, almost every single move has been made to save money. Maybe not the Sadiq Bey trade. Obviously, that one really didn't change much in terms of the salary cap in the short term. But, yeah, you have every right to be skeptical. We've heard from the wrestlers that they are not afraid of the luxury tax, but – seeing is believing, and we'll see. I don't think it's good practice to go in the luxury tax just to be in the luxury tax, just to say you're competing, make it make sense. But at the same time, I think Hawks fans, they have every right to be skeptical after, the Kevin Herter trade and everything we saw go down the aftermath of the DeJounte Murray trade.
Well, I think also, too, Pat, it becomes, if you're going to have a supermax player, given where the threshold is, it's hard to build a roster around a supermax guy that doesn't involve the luxury tax. Again, you have to probably really get lucky in the draft and different things like that. But if you're going to add pieces that are competent with a supermax player, it feels like it's going to be a challenge to try to get that kind of right combination of roster when you've got a guy that eats up a good bit of your cap space as it is.
No doubt about it. If you go back and you look at the last few decades of teams that have won NBA championships, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority have been teams that have been into the luxury tax. So, yeah, that's par for the course. And, you know, again, don't go into luxury tax for no good reason. But at the same time, these team owners, they are multi-billionaires. They can't afford to pay the luxury tax. You know, I'm all for being prudent when it makes sense. But at the same time, you bought a team. You deserve it. The community deserves it to have a team out there that's willing to compete. And, you know, sometimes there are some external costs that come along. Not everything is going to be in the black, in the book. Sometimes you may have to go in the red, and that's part of being a team owner.
Pat Benson, he is a sneaker reporter for Fan Nation, covers the Atlanta Hawks as well. You find him on his Twitter page, @Pat_Benson_Jr. Join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Pat, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. We'll chat again soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Keep up the great work.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight,
the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show live on this Monday evening with you. As well, we continue to see what the Atlanta Hawks are going to do. Obviously, summer camp, summer league, I should say, just wrapped up here, and it won't be long before we start talking about training camp. Still plenty of time to do some stuff, but let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Pat Benson, sneaker reporter for Fan Nation, covers Atlanta Hawks as well. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Pat_Benson_Jr. Pat, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So let's start with all the rumor and innuendo. I mean, obviously, Pascal Siakam is a guy who has been linked heavily with the Atlanta Hawks. The question that I have is, if you don't know if you can sign him to a max extension, do you make that? I mean, do the Hawks look at making that trade and roll the dice that they can sign him as the season goes along or at the end of the year? Or is that just kind of too risky to give up some of the assets that you would for Siakam without some kind of guarantee that he will stay here long term?
Well, unfortunately, not going to get much of a guarantee. If you think Pascal Siakam is the type of player that can push you into that area of contention, then yeah, that's a big boy move that big boy teams make all the time. You got to be willing to make that sort of leap of faith. And I'm not sure if Siakam is that player. I think he's a great player. I think he is an upgrade over John Collins, no doubt about it. And if Landry Fields, Kyle Korver, Quinn Snyder, if that front office, if they think that Siakam is the missing piece, then yeah, they have no choice but to go for it.
So if he does become a free agent, I mean, either way, he's either going to get a max extension if he signs with a team, or he'll go to free agency and get a max deal. Like, there's no way around him being a max player. You think the Hawks let's just, for argument's sake, say the Hawks do make a deal for him. You're talking about another $120 million being doled out for him at that point. You think the Hawks are willing to make that kind of investment into a third player at this point?
I think they would be. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I think when we last spoke, I was pretty bearish on the idea of Siakam. But, you know, we keep hearing his name come up over and over from different reports, different corners of the league. So at this point, I do believe that there is serious interest. It's just how much are they willing to part with, in order to bring Siakam in. But, yeah, their hand would be forced. They would have to sign to a max contract next year, and that would also require retooling the roster to make it work. You know, that would mean saying goodbye to, Clint Capella, DeAndre Hunter, some other players. You know, obviously, one, just to make the trade happen, and two, to fit him in the salary cap. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and Pat, there's been more and more speculation. I mean, we're hearing reports from different people, and Jake Fisher being one of those guys that has been being, and he's been pretty accurate here of late, but he did report that the Hawks have had a more willingness to move on from Clint Capella. You think Clint Capella is the next guy that most likely moves off this team, whether it's Dallas or Toronto or somebody like that? I mean, again, really probably more Dallas than anybody else, but does it feel like that he's maybe the next domino that's about to fall?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense because Onyeka Okongwu, it's really his time. He's about to get a rookie-scale contract extension, and I think Clint Capella was always kind of a stopgap measure for Okongwu after we saw what he did during that Eastern Conference Finals run in 2021. We always knew that he was the center of the future. Need a little bit more time to develop. And don't get me wrong, Capella is still performing at a very high level, but it does make sense. You know, I think everybody is in agreement that Okongwu is the center of the future. So, yeah, it only makes sense that Capella would be the next player to go. And then also right by his side would be DeAndre Hunter, of course, because we've kind of got a log jam of forwards when you look at Sadiq Bey, A.J. Griffin, and a bigger power forward, Jalen Johnson. So, yeah, I would say Capella and then to a slightly lesser extent, Hunter.
If they can't move Hunter, do you think that they offer Sadiq Bey a contract extension? Because I'm wondering what that looks like as far as a cost perspective. I mean, again, he's going to be a free agent. That's another one of the guys that you look at. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a free agent come next year. And I thought he did a lot of good things for the Hawks. But, obviously it's going to be a matter of if they're going to pay him, what's it going to cost? And to your point about, if there is a logjam sort of at that small forward position or maybe even guard, big guard position. Yeah. But, what do you think a deal like that looks like for a guy like Sadiq Bey? Or do they just kind of ride him out for one more year and, eventually let him walk?
Well, that's a good point you made. Their hand isn't exactly forced when it comes to Bey because, one, they didn't give up a ton to get him. They gave up 5 second-round picks, and second-round picks just aren't that valuable. And then, like you said, they could ride the season out the way they did with John Collins when he was in a contract year and then come back and then negotiate a deal. What his deal would look like and, how it fits in this major grand scheme, I have no idea what it would look like. But I feel like the pressure to sign Bey isn't there the way it is to extend Okongwu.
Pat Benson joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Hawks reporter. So, DeJounte Murray, we saw the extension. I really like the move. I mean, look, we've talked about this in the past that, look, I was glad that they didn't monkey around. They made him the big-time offer. He wanted to stay in Atlanta. And the biggest thing for me is just now it's all about basketball. Now it's focusing on basketball. There's no talk about contracts, no talk about trades, no talk about any of this kind of stuff. This really felt like a home run move for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think that the Trae Young, DeJounte Murray is the perfect backcourt, but they certainly complement each other well. They've proven they can make it work. Here's a novel idea in the NBA. Let's give them some time to play together and to develop, get to know each other better, and they're only going to improve. So last year it was a little clunky at times. But overall, we've seen enough to know that it will work. And most importantly, like you said, we can put all the drama aside. Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, they're both locked up for the future. And should something go awry, if Trae Young for some reason wants out at some point, Atlanta has an all-star caliber player, ready to lead the team at the one guard, in DeJounte Murray. So not only does it solidify his future, it also is a little bit of an position.
So do you think that, if it's not Siakam, are there any, we've talked about this before, are there any names or any buzz about anybody else? It does really feel like that all of the eggs are potentially in the Siakam basket. So if it's not him, is it anybody else, or are they just going to pretty much try to just run this thing back with what they've got?
That's a great question, because I was scanning through available players, and it was a free agency class to begin with. The Hawks aren't going after James Harden or anything like that. So, yeah, I feel like it's got to be Siakam. But then again, at the same time, it's the NBA. We see these trades come up out of nowhere, and people forget that the Cleveland, when they pulled off that major trade with Utah last year, that happened in September. That was right before the start of training camp when they got Donovan Mitchell. So, things can happen late. I wouldn't expect movement soon. I think this is some trade drama that could play out over weeks, over months. However, the Hawks do have $9 million in cap space, and I think there is a reason why they cleared all that out. I think they are preparing to add a third star, and at this point it looks like it's Siakam or no one. But then again, it's the NBA. Crazier things happen.
Well, and then that begs the question, are they They got out of the luxury tax, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, are you going to turn right back around and get into it? Because, I mean, you're while you cleared some cap space, you don't have a whole lot of room to do a lot of maneuvering without staying in the luxury tax. And, look, this always becomes the debate about what the Hawks are going to do. You know, as of right now, I mean, if we believe in actions over words, all that they have done is really get themselves under the luxury tax. I don't think they're a better roster today, and I think all it's been is just – so far, getting under the luxury tax, and every move that you've seen that they've corresponded with has been, well, it's a $4.5 million here, $6.5 mm-hmm. million savings here. So it feels like every move has been designed to kind of minimize, you know, get themselves under the luxury tax, clear up some cap space. Are they willing to get back into it? I mean, I know what the verbiage is, but are they really mm-hmm. willing to get back into it?
Well, you have every right to be skeptical. Since they pulled the trigger on the DeJounte Murray trade last summer, almost every single move has been made to save money. Maybe not the Sadiq Bey trade. Obviously, that one really didn't change much in terms of the salary cap in the short term. But yeah, you have every right to be skeptical. We've heard from the wrestlers that they are not afraid of the luxury tax, but you know, seeing is believing, and we'll see. I don't think it's good practice to go in the luxury tax just to be in the luxury tax, just to say you're competing, make it make sense. But at the same time, I think Hawks fans, you know, they have every right to be skeptical after, you know, the Kevin Herter trade and everything we saw go down the aftermath of the DeJounte Murray trade.
Well, I think also, too, Pat, it becomes, if you're going to have a supermax player, given where mm-hmm. the threshold is, it's hard to build a roster around a supermax guy that doesn't involve the luxury tax. I mean, just the again, you have to probably really get lucky in the draft and different things like that. But if you're going to add pieces that are competent with a supermax player, it feels like it's going to be a challenge to try to get that kind of right combination of roster when you've got a guy that eats up a good bit of your cap space as it is.
No doubt about it. If you go back and you look at the last few decades of teams that have won NBA championships, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority have been teams that have been into the luxury tax. So, yeah, that's par for the course. And, you know, again, don't go into the luxury tax for no good reason. But at the same time, these team owners, they are multi-billionaires. They can't afford to pay the luxury tax. You know, I'm all for being prudent when it makes sense. But at the same time, you bought a team. You deserve it. The community deserves it for to have a team out there that's willing to compete. And, you know, sometimes there are some external costs that come along. Not everything is going to be in the black, in the book. Sometimes you may have to go in the red, and that's part of being a team owner.
Pat Benson, he is a sneaker reporter for Fan Nation, covers the Atlanta Hawks as well. You find him on his Twitter page, @Pat_Benson_Jr. Join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Pat, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. We'll chat again soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Keep up the great work.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.